So what is the difference between this and any other company? Apple, the encryption debate has raged. So, and again, we're talking about the initial order on Tuesday. What is the difference in this and the legal warrants that they have issued to phone companies and other back to the beginning of the country when there was a murder or a crime committed and the local policeman came to the landlord and said, I need you to bust in that apartment door. Here's a warrant. I want to search the premises. What is the difference here?
Well, there are a number of differences.
And your audio is dramatically better. It's perfect now. Whatever you did, go ahead. Sorry, the differences between the landlord and...
The difference is there are a number of differences, and trying to eke out the nuances of each is kind of difficult. It kind of boils down to, however, that in this particular case, Apple's... one of the claims that Apple is making is that they have no direct interest in the phone itself. So in the case of a landlord letting the police into an apartment, mind you, it's always bothered me that that's legal, but in the case of a landlord letting the police into an apartment, the landlord has a vested interest. They have ownership interest in the apartment itself. In the case, for example, of legalized wiretaps, that was the subject of a court case, and it was ultimately ruled that that the phone companies did have a vested interest because it was their equipment that was being asked to be used here. In Apple's case, it's a lot more dubious. Apple doesn't own the phone. It's not Apple's phone. And although Apple does own the operating system on the phone, that operating system is licensed to somebody else for their use. So these are, it's in a very different circumstance. Finally, the final difference between a lot of other things is that Apple is being asked to do something with the operating system that the operating system was specifically designed to not allow. So they're basically being told what their operating system needs to do. And that's a little bit different than most of what we see when it comes to doors and locks. It's like being told, and this is not a great analogy, but it's like being told that you need to build your door so that somebody can ram it down with a battering ram.
Okay, so the next step in the timeline here was Apple responded to this, and the CEO, Tim Cook, he released an open letter to the government. And in the letter, it was a very long elaboration on what their stance had initially been, is that you cannot create a back door that only the government can access. And the government said that we want it only
Dan, let me just interrupt you and make sure we're clear on that point. They are saying that it is technically infeasible to create a back door that only certain people will have access to. That's their claim, at least. And there's some dubiousness about that argument, but that's their claim here. So I just wanted to clarify the language you were using. I apologize.
That's okay. And then they also said that I've now lost my train of thought. So in the letter, what's the crux of the argument of the letter that is, I guess, saying that they're not going to immediately comply, but they're going to... And there wasn't like a do it today thing. It was like there's a hearing on this date. And so I assume they're going to appeal it is what they were saying. I don't think they were defying it, right? They're simply going to exercise an appeal and not immediately comply, but exercise every legal option at their disposal. So it's not really defying a court order, correct?
That part you'll have to leave to a lawyer. I can't answer that one. What they have made fairly clear, however, is that although they cooperate with law enforcement on this and many other subjects, where it's legally required for them to do so, they don't see that this is a case where they are legally required to do so. And I think this is a case where they're in some cases, in some aspects, being fairly clear that they feel that acquiescing to the government request will put a number of people in danger. And it will put them in danger from any number of other sources. So while this may be a somewhat legal request, and although the FBI is saying that it is very narrow in scope, Apple is saying, we don't think it's as narrow in scope as the FBI is making it out to be. And because it's not narrow in scope, we're not going to do, we're going to resist doing this.
And the argument in my mind, I'm kind of being devil's advocate for Alan. Alan and I both agree kind of that we don't want a back
door. Well, that's bad, because I was going to be devil's advocate for you.
Well, we are.
But let's keep going.
But the bottom line is that right now there are plenty of apps that ISIS uses that have encryption, we assume. I mean, I don't know what governments can access or not. So there are plenty of methods, and I think Edward Snowden has almost a wiki how-to list of things to use, and obviously he was pretty good at it. So there are ways. So here we go. It's similar to what the gun lobby would say, that if you ban guns, only the criminals have guns. So what you're doing is that you're going to create a situation, and our fear is not that the government can't catch us in a crime, but that China could break into our phone, that China and Russia and other hackers with malicious intent could steal stuff about business, or you could be blackmailed or what have you, and then the criminals will still have their encryption through other apps, and we will all be inconvenienced because now you're going to get blackmailed over something or your information stolen.
So let's break that down. Apple's claim is that it's not, and this is a claim that I actually somewhat agree with, that it's not possible to create a backdoor such that only the FBI will have access. And that is true. The problem is that's not what the FBI asked for in this case. What they asked for was a backdoor that only Apple has access to. And if you're going to, so to then say, okay, so once there's a backdoor, anybody will have access to it. That kind of makes the assumption that somehow Apple's keys will leak out. And Apple is trying its damnedest to, let's put it this way, if Apple's keys ever leaked out now, there would be big problems anyway. So Apple is making sure that that doesn't happen.
And isn't that kind of a bogus argument? You write software. I'm sure there's some way for you to get in it to do technical stuff that the client or anybody in the public wouldn't know. Doesn't every similar device have some way that the manufacturer can get in there to fix things or what have you?
I hope not. I mean, it's true in this case that Apple does have a way to install software that's signed by Apple's keys. But if one of the claims that Apple has made, and it's getting better at this every version, is that only you have access to your data. Even Apple does not have access to its data, your data. And the reason why Apple wants to be able to say that is because they don't want the FBI asking them for exactly what the FBI is asking them for.
Well, that's one reason. The other reason would be they want to sell phones, and you could be a devil, you could be cynical and say that this is posturing, and we're going to get to some evidence of this in a moment. You could say this is posturing because they do want to sell more devices, and they want the public's perception that this is a secure thing, and that if they do this in this public trial, that they will be exposed that really it isn't as secure as you think. And so that's why they're putting up this fight, because if they didn't have the ability to break in the phone, they wouldn't be putting up this fight. They obviously have the ability to break into the phone.
That there is... that it is technically feasible for them to do so on this model. It may not be technically feasible for them to do so on later models, to be honest.
Do you have a right to have a device that the government, even with a court order, it cannot be broken into? And do you have a right to sell that device to others? I guess I should say, should you have the right? Whether you have the right is to be determined.
Well, let me see.
If you're looking for a right to privacy in the Constitution, it's not there.
No, I'm not looking for the right to the privacy.
It's not there
No, I'm just saying, right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures.
That's a ridiculous argument. That's like saying that you can yell fire in a crowded theater because of freedom of speech. You do have a right to be secure unless a court has said to you.
Hello, Dan. Will you at least let me finish?
Okay.
Where I was going to point out that there was a warrant issued against this data. So the real question is, if the person was alive, would they be compelled to unlock the phone?
I guess they could be forced to put their finger on it. I guess they could physically try to get his finger, and they could use it. But we'll get to another issue.
That's not self-incrimination?
But in a nutshell, my question is this. Should it be legal for you to create a phone or any data storage device? And these are not just phones now, they're computers. In every sense of the word, should you be able to create a computer or device that is completely locked down so that even if a judge signs a warrant, it's impossible to extract the data? Like this in existence now?
There have been things like this in existence for decades before computers.
Like what's a currently widespread, you'd have to say it's a widespread use. If it were an edge case, some niche product that was really expensive that enterprise companies used, or you know, some kind of special safe that was impenetrable.
You used to have safes that were self-destructing. That if you didn't open it with the right tumbler combination, the contents would be destroyed.
They were somewhat specialized,
but they existed.
Or they'd have a time limit. That's what happened in Iran. They'd have a safe that was rated for like 20 minutes. And they'd have everything in there they could destroy in 15 minutes, you know, that kind of thing. And then after 15 minutes, they'd open the doors, they come on in, you know, and the welder can stop, you know. So that's kind of the crux of the issue. That's what Apple wants. Apple wants to create an iPhone that is completely impenetrable, and they've been touting this. So the reason for this isn't because we want to commit a terrorist attack and we want to do it with impunity. The issue is the Snowden stuff that was exposed, but even more so, the fear of hackers. I mean, the Target breach, I think, was the one that hit home to most people. The government, the OPM stuff. One guy tweeted, when the big breach of all the like job applicants' information and employees of the federal government, one guy said his wife applied in the mid-'80s for a job in the federal government, and she got notified that her stuff had been breached. You know, so 30 years ago. Pam asks, Pam was at the dentist today. We wish her all the best. And, I assume she got some really good stuff, from the dentist. Pam says, is the turning over of the child porn by Jared against the self-incrimination clause? She asks.
I don't remember exactly what Jared did, to be honest, but
he was the Subway guy. He had
pornography. I know who it was. I don't remember how the child porn was discovered, how it was acquired, you know, how it was discovered on his systems and whatever. So I can't answer that.
So you can't be forced to provide testimony against yourself, but they can. What is the deal? I
honestly don't know.
But can not in that case. Haven't we had situations where someone has refused? I think that they can lock you up until you agree. Like there was a case where the guy refused. I think there's a federal case now. I'm sure there's several where the guy said, I won't give up the password to my laptop because it's going to incriminate me. And the judge locked him up for some period of time to try to compel him to do it. So I guess you can be forced to turn over evidence against you, but you can't be forced to testify against you. I'm not sure where the line is. I don't know that. And I don't want to speculate. Adding to this intrigue, it turns out this Daily Beast article, this is from a 2015 thing. Apple unlocked iPhones for the feds 70 times previously. I don't know what models we're talking. I don't know what versions of iOS. I think it's been strengthened in 9. I have no idea, but this story makes, and all these links are below the player in the Google Plus posts, my Facebook post, and the YouTube. If you go click through to YouTube and look in the description of the video, all these links that we're talking about are there. So we're in link number 3 that they did it 70 times. And this article goes to what I suggested earlier, that this is a public posturing. And that also it's the feds upping the game a bit because this is such a high-profile case. This self-radicalized ISIS supporter who went in and killed these 14 co-workers, he does not paint a sympathetic picture. And so this, I guess, was the big case that they wanted to use, if you follow this theory, to go after Apple because they were like holier than thou with this, oh, we want everyone to be protected against the target hackers and China.
So let's take this out. Yes, Apple has, you know, assisted in the past, and it assisted in this case too. There's been ample evidence saying that Apple helped as much as they could. Apple's point, however, is we then went and designed a system that was impossible for others to, you know, for us to do this. Now you're making us do this when you're making us create a feature that didn't exist before. Previously, it was a feature that law enforcement had access. Now we've removed that feature and you're making us put that feature in. And Apple's claim is you can't make them put that feature in, even though it may have existed before.
Okay.
And I'd also point out that a lot of law enforcement agencies, as things developed on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, a lot of law enforcement agencies, besides the FBI, were cheering on the FBI, saying, this is great, this is going to mean, you know, the New York Police Commissioner, I believe, said, I have 750 iPhones in my evidence locker that I want access to. So despite the fact the FBI was saying this is a limited situation, the New York City Police Commissioner was saying, woohoo! And that's what Apple was trying to prevent against, A. But really what they were trying to block, you know, trying to prevent is China's government and Russia's government and Iran's government from saying, here, unlock this iPhone for me so I can get access to the illegal information that's contained therein.
Yeah, clearly the Pandora's box argument.
Right. So the FBI saying this is a limited situation, I think that's nice to think of. But once you have code that can be used, it can be reused. And we'll touch on this again when we get to today's events.
Okay, so one of the many events, I think everything else in this section is today. The next one is the U.S. filed a motion. Okay. I worded this the way it is. They filed a motion to compel Apple to comply with the previous order of 3 days ago. And that order was to compel them to assist investigators. So this is, I think by their own admission, an unnecessary motion. But it was sort of their public response because they wanted to publicly respond to Tim Cook's letter, because obviously Tim Cook has a tremendous microphone. So in their document, they make the point. They say it's not, we didn't say they have to create a new version of iOS. We said how they come up with the data is up to them, that they don't ever have to turn anything into the custody of the U.S. government. Basically, they said they want the technical equivalent of, we want to give you the phone and you give us the data. And their argument is similar to if you have a broken hard drive and you give it to the white room or whatever they call it, and you get back a DVD with the data that was on the hard drive. And how they do it is up to them. Now, Apple, of course, would say, well, once we demonstrate that this can be done, then every local sheriff, every constable is gonna want to have us do the same thing, and then we no longer have any sort of, and then it, I mean, then they're saying it's a slippery slope. It's very similar to the NRA argument, really, if you think about it. But go ahead. What's your thinking on this?
My thinking on this is that the FBI tipped its hand on this one, and they tipped it poorly. So in their filing, I've just pulled it up. It's on page 20 of the link if anybody is interested in following along here.
The link is it says complete legal filing if you click there.
Yes.
And when he says
and
page 20,
and by complete legal filing, that's today's filing, not the previous filing. What was that, Dan?
Explain page 20 when you say page 20.
Click on pages and click on the one that says page 20.
Well, okay. Okay, but in other words, it's not the facts page 20 that's on the left. It's the bottom, the document page 20.
No, it's the one that's on the left.
Oh, then it's the facts document page. Okay.
I don't know. I clicked on page 20. Okay. It also says at the top, page 20 of 35. All right. Anyway, in the top paragraph on it, it says Apple, you know, in trying to state that the FBI is not going to have this, that this is a one-time thing, nor is compliance with the order a threat to other users of Apple products. Apple may maintain custody of the software, destroy it after its purpose after the order has been served, refuse to disseminate it outside of Apple, and make it clear to the world that it does not apply to other devices or users without lawful court orders. And those four final words there is the FBI tipping its hand and saying, the next time we come with lawful court orders, you'll have to do the same thing. That is the problem.
And to that, Cybernaut says, commenting on the Google Plus Week TV show page, this is the FBI exploiting an opportunity. And he thinks that it will not get them anywhere. Yeah, I think this is, they were waiting for the case to make their point, right? The big stand. They were waiting for...
Mind you, I've seen some lawyers' analysis of this saying, well, this isn't really the precedent that we're making it out to be. This is a magistrate. This isn't an appeals court. This isn't, you know, this isn't a real judge. It's just, you know, some guy saying, yeah, you got to cooperate with the FBI.
There's been a public paradigm shift that I started to get to before. In the past, when you were like a what I call privacy freak, and you would say privacy advocate, in the past, those people you would think were either like closet criminals or doing something nefarious. Why would they care if the government knows who you call, or they're cheating on their wife, that sort of thing. So they were like looked down or not understood by the masses, arguably. But after the Snowden stuff, after the Target breach, after one breach after another, to where they're like minor government recalls. There are so many breaches that we just saw a hospital paid $17,000 to hackers to get their in-house hospital stuff back. It's become so commonplace that it's now like, wait a minute, there is a big demand, not because we're going to be criminals, not because we want to do something nefarious, but just because we don't want to be hacked. We don't want our identity stolen. That's a huge thing. And so the government had an unsympathetic case, or Apple had a more sympathetic case, and they were waiting for the case where they could make their stand. And this, I mean, who could possibly be against the government finding anybody helping this terrorist? I mean, obviously, I don't know anybody who would think that it's a good thing if, you know, that they can't, or it would be a bad thing if the government found out that there was somebody else planning a sleeper cell attack of some sort. So this was a good case from the government's perspective, from their thinking. But I just, we'll get to the Pandora's box. So they file this today. And then the next thing, I've got so many freaking tabs open. The next thing is Apple says that investigators bungled a chance to hack into this particular iPhone. So did you read this?
I did read this.
This happened like 20 minutes before we went live, and so I haven't read the whole thing.
This was actually kind of interesting, although there wasn't a lot of details.
So just to be clear, this is from a phone call that said from a senior Apple executive, which means you know who it is and you recognize the voice, but you're not supposed to say. The White House says this all the time. But this was a phone call from Apple trying to put their stuff in the news cycle. So go ahead.
Yeah, putting something in the news cycle on a Friday afternoon, that's going to go over real well.
Well, the DOJ chose this timeline where they're filing today.
Right. So I think, you know, so So according to this report, we don't know how true it is. According to this report, Apple says they worked with the FBI. They said that in the past. And this time they gave some examples of that. And they said one of the things that, that could have been done, well, it was apparently one of the issues was that the phone had not backed up to iCloud. And although they've been able to get the backup information off iCloud, and Apple provided that information after receiving a legal court order to do so, let's be clear here, Apple gave over information. But it was missing some data from October until the present, and it appeared to be missing some other information as well. Apple is saying, look, if it syncs to iCloud, we'll be able to give you that information. So here are a couple of things to try in order to sync it to the sync to iCloud. Apple then reported that someone changed the iCloud password, which would prevent the phone from syncing to iCloud until you enter the password on the phone. The FBI is saying it must have been somebody at the Santa Clara Commission where the guy worked, because they're actually the owners of the phone. That actually raises another interesting question completely, but we'll move on to that one in a minute.
Yeah, a couple other comments here. Sai says, let me see if I can, okay, well, there's Pam's picture. Okay, it's public, but I'm over here, not Pam's dental thing. This is the pre-Vicodin shot. All right, so here, Sai says, in my opinion, if Apple did their job right, the FBI's request is not possible, which would have been the card I would have played, rather than the slippery slope, leading me to think Apple may know a way to do it. My thought was...
I think it's fairly clear that Apple knows a way to do it. In fact, the FBI spells out in their request exactly what Apple needs to do.
Yeah, so clearly they can do it, or they wouldn't be putting up a fight. They would just say it's not possible. My thought was, continuing with Sai, my thought was to put the phone near a spoofed cell tower that sets its time back to January 1st, 1970, because a brick can't erase itself. And then Alan notes, always even poo-pooing Sai, or the new word is casting shade. Shade from Alan. I've only recently heard that, but I heard it's been around for several years, that shade word. And it appears to not be possible on later models, just that this model doesn't have the secure enclosure. One day I'm going to find the thing that Alan doesn't know. Okay, so...
there are quite a few things that Alan doesn't know.
Humility is his strong suit, wouldn't you say,
Alan? No, there are quite a few things that I don't know. The fact that you don't know them either is telling, but...
Yeah, so here's the thing. I don't understand. Why don't they... Is it possible for Apple to create, here's the crux of this, let's get to the meat. Is it possible for Apple to create an iPhone that is impenetrable even by Apple? 100%, I mean, to their best of their knowledge, maybe they'll come up with a way, then they'll plug it. And if so, couldn't the government simply say you can't do that? And isn't that what this argument should be about? Because why can't they create that, and should they, will they?
Let's answer that. Okay, can they create that? Theoretically, yes. In fact, theoretically, the iPhone 6 has that. iPhone 6S? I don't know. The latest model of the iPhone 6 has that. Should they? My opinion is yes. Should the government be able to tell them not to do so? My opinion is no.
Okay, so is there anything, what's an analogy to something that, what's analogous to an iPhone that's impenetrable even with a court order? It's no way to get in it. What's a technical device that there is no way to do it?
Your brain?
Because the government has done similar things, not totally analogous, but, for example, a VCR or a DVD recorder that it was illegal to record copyrighted material. And they set up a system where if you tried to record the Grammy Awards, tried to record a video off of MTV back when they used to play those things, that it would not work. You'd get some kind of like red light or what have you. So I would say that it's a different thing, but still it's the government saying whatever, that you can't create this technology. The Digital Millennium Act, I think, had that in there. the DMCA. So isn't that the obvious solution to this? You're saying they could do it. Why haven't they? They just haven't gotten around to it, or they haven't figured
it
out yet.
They did do it. They did do it. That's what the secure enclosure is in the iPhone 6, whatever.
Okay.
It basically the issue is that in this version of the iPhone, the authentication system is in the operating system. In future versions of the iPhone, the authentication system is not in the operating system, but it's in this secure enclosure. It's in kind of a separate part of the iPhone completely. And that you can't talk to that secure enclosure unless you're already authenticated to the system. And you can't be authenticated to the system unless you've gone through the secure enclosure. So that's kind of the catch-22 that's set up in future authentication systems. But it's not quite there yet. The iPhone 5 didn't have this.
Is it fair, Alan, to say that this isn't so much about what it appears to be, but more that doing this in such a high-profile case hurts the narrative that Apple has attempted to paint, that your iPhone is completely secure from everything, even if, you know, for any purpose, when really it isn't?
I don't think it necessarily
I don't think it damages that narrative.
Because as Apple has pointed out, and they freely pointed this out, they've given access to iCloud, and it's in their best interest in getting people to use iCloud and use iCloud securely. So
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Okay, so we have a comment from George. And George says, this is on YouTube. If you comment, I mean, we're reading your comments, so please comment if you're watching. He says, George says, the whole thing comes down to one question. Do we want law enforcement to aggressively do its job, or do we want them to stay out of our business? The trouble is that sometimes their business is to look at what we're up to. I don't think I'd let it slide with a second phrase there. I don't think there are many people out there who think that the government doesn't have a right to look at the guy's phone and wouldn't want the government to know in case there's another terrorist out there. I think that's a noble cause. I think that the cops are doing what their job is. Their job is to enforce the law. They're sworn, right? And Alan would counter with, they're also they're pledged to sworn to uphold the Constitution. This is why this is such an interesting case. And the fear is not whether we want law. The question is not, do we want law enforcement to be able to stay out of our business? No. I think they should stay out of our business unless we commit a crime. The problem is that this gets back to what Tim Cook's been saying, which may or may not be the case. He said that it's impossible to create a backdoor that only the government can get in. And that is the line that he is selling to the public, which may or may not be accurate. I don't know. I'm not being flippant. I don't know. I would think that it is highly likely that they could create a backdoor that other hackers couldn't, or hackers couldn't get through, since on 70 occasions they have done so.
Nope, you can't use the 70 occasions quote, because those were for previous versions of the operating system, which had even weaker security than this one.
But don't we agree that it's likely that they will be able to hack into this phone if it comes down to that?
It's not hacking into the phone, but yes.
Hacking can be good or bad.
We can agree on that.
They can force their way in.
But citing 70 previous actions when they did so does not mean that this can be the 71st.
Well, if this is the 71st, then it is a valid argument, because on 71 occasions they've broken into them, and possibly with different versions of iOS and all of them.
Well, but it also doesn't mean that tomorrow on your iPhone 6S it can be the 72nd. Just because it had been done before doesn't mean that it has to be done again.
Okay. All right, so what will come as a shock to new viewers, but not to oldies, is that this is not even close to being our longest topic. in the history of this show. All right, next is...
We're only at 30 minutes. You got to be kidding me. This is nothing.
Edward Snowden has weighed in.
Of course he did. So what?
Oh, wait. But before that, on this previous, they said that they, when they said that they bungled, they I guess somebody changed the password for iCloud, or changed the password for the guy's Apple ID, and then it would have required a verification of some kind in order to back it up again, right? That's
correct.
The gist of this. And that was not done, or was not done adequately. That's why no backup was done after the December incident. And I guess they don't know why, I guess 2 months earlier in October was his last iCloud backup. They don't know what happened in the meantime. And they may already have that information, right? Don't they already have that from October? They just, what they want to know is what text messages or app messages or what have you he may have sent from then, from the last iCloud backup until the incident date, right? That's what they're after.
Pretty much, yes.
Okay. All right, so next is, let's go to Edward Snowden, because everyone's in on this one. Okay, here we go. This is Edward Snowden, who knows something about this sort of thing. He says, journalists, journalists, crucial details are being obscured by officials. Skepticism here is fair. He says, the FBI already has all of the suspects' communications records, who they talk to and how, as these are stored by service providers, not on the phone itself. He's saying phone calls, that wouldn't have, like, you know, WhatsApp messages, that sort of thing. The FBI has received a comprehensive backups of all the suspects' data until just 6 weeks before the crime. I guess that's referring to the iCloud storage. So that goes again to what we were saying, that they're interested in that 6 weeks prior, after the last iCloud backup, in case he did last-minute prep work with his brother-in-law or what have you. Copies of the suspects' contacts with coworkers, the FBI's claimed interest, are available in duplicate from those coworkers' phones. Number four, the phone in controversy is a government-issued work phone, subjected to consent to monitoring, not a secret terrorist communications device. Not sure why it can't be both. The operational phones believed to be hiding incriminating information recovered by the FBI during a search were physically destroyed, not shielded by Apple. And number five, alternative means for gaining access to this device and others exist that do not require the manufacturer's assistance. Number five may be accurate. All this may be accurate. Number five may be accurate, but I don't think that they really give a damn about getting into this phone. I think this is all about getting Apple to create a backdoor. Wouldn't you agree with that? That's a question. Is this about this phone, or is this?
Well, but here's
it
the
is,
thing.
But it, is it really? Or is it about this is the case to use to force the issue with Apple?
Point number five might be that the FBI does not have means to get into the phone. We don't, you know, it very well may be that other government agencies who are not allowed to operate in the United States may have that access, but the FBI may not.
I bet that girl who worked for Jack Bauer could get into it. I saw a tweet about that. It was funny. Okay, so I wonder if Snowden could get into it.
The one where McAfee claims he can get into it?
Yeah, everyone's trying to get into the news cycle. See, Trump has taught people something. And don't worry, we're going to get to Trump.
We're going to get to Trump in a minute. Yeah, can't you wait?
So, yeah. So what, I mean, he has a point. Do you think, is this about the phone? Okay, dividing the 100% pie up, right? What percent of this is about what's on this phone, this 5C, and what percent is sticking it to Apple?
I'd say it's mostly about the phone.
Really?
Because they've gotten I think so.
I'm more skeptical.
I think you're giving too much credit to FBI agents.
perhaps.
I mean, you know, I think they're all hoping that precedent is established, but they keep trying to go out of their way to say, no, 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 this isn't precedent.
What do you, what's your, this is pure speculation, something you're not prone to do. but the White House spokesman has weighed in on this.
Everyone's weighed in on
right.
this.
Everyone's weighed in on this, all the candidates. So what in your, how high up do you think before this motion on Tuesday was, I don't know, I can't remember when it was done, but it was publicly released on Tuesday. How high up the chain do you think were approvals prior to making that move? Do you think this is like James Comey, Attorney General stuff, or like just a local person? And then it kind of exploded.
I think at most this went to the head of the FBI, but I don't even think it went that high. You know, it wouldn't surprise me if it went to the FBI's legal department, maybe to the top of that department, but I'm not even convinced of that. I think this is a fairly, you know, the FBI made a basic case and presented their case. And in their mind, this is no different than any other case they probably requested.
Okay. And obviously this wouldn't be the first U.S. attorney or FBI move that gained national attention. Okay. So next is Donald Trump. You know, I got to tell you, I've been trying to find the issue that Alan and Donald Trump disagreed on for quite some time. And lo and behold, today of all days, I finally find the thing that Alan disagrees with Donald Trump on. So anyway, Trump has, I'm being very facetious. Trump has called for a boycott until they hand over the stuff from the phone. And someone noted, I think CNN or the Washington Post noted that Trump tweets from an iPhone. So I guess he'll have to hand his phone. Maybe he can get a Windows phone. We'll talk about that later. Finally on this, Apple CEO Tim Cook and the FBI's James Comey have been invited to talk about encryption before Congress. Talk about an awkward green room meeting. Anyway, anything else on this, and then we'll do some comments here.
Sorry, I'm responding to some of the comments right now. I think the Trump part is, you know, typical bluster. It suddenly occurred to me while addressing some of Pam's comments that one of the cases that the FBI is making is that this is critical evidence and it's the only piece of evidence left because the person killed, you know, is dead. It occurs to me we actually have a lot of legal cases that we don't have definitive answers to because the person in question is dead. And even if we did, those people would not necessarily give any answers because they could invoke their Fifth Amendment right to not say anything. So, you know, just saying the FBI has a right to this information, nobody's disputing that. They have a legal search warrant. That legal search warrant gives them the right to this device and the contents that are on it. This particular device was not even owned by what's his name. It was owned by his employer. And his employer has granted explicit right and unlimited right to the FBI to have access to it. So there is no doubt they have legal access to this device. The problem is just having the right doesn't give them the data.
Okay. Looking at some of the comments on Google Plus, Cybernaut says, in Apple's defense of securing our devices, just think about all of the three-letter acronyms that are tasked with keeping the U.S. safe from terrorists and the fact that the FBI has to get a court order to get it done by Apple. Cozy on continuing on with his previous comment about law enforcement, he says he'd rather have the police look at my damn phone if it thinks it necessary and a judge agrees, that being blown up by, than being blown up by a fanatic. He's saying he'd rather let the police look at the phones of a terrorist or terror suspect. And then Alan.
And I'll point out to George that that is a really, really dangerous attitude to take. That is dangerous in a lot of ways for our civil liberties.
Well, what's the famous quote? I'm paraphrasing, those who would give up liberty for freedom deserve neither.
I believe that's attributed to Ben Franklin.
Screw YouTube, George continues. I can't even edit out a typo these days. Alan says to Alan, he says, I could take a special kind of photo for them to look at. Oops, back to Pam's picture. There we go. Pam says, work phones and all of the information on it belong to your work. That has been borne out in court, echoing Edward Snowden. Pam says, send the phone to another country. Duh. George Cozy to me, this is about establishing a precedent. You spelled precedent correctly. Pam, yep, and that part isn't in dispute. What is confusing is why the employer didn't have access to the phone, says Alan. It is not in dispute by anyone that the FBI has a legal right to the data. It is in dispute how or if it is feasible to get that data. George Cozy, the Fifth Amendment right equals something stinks, look harder. All right, so they have a right to get a search warrant to search things.
They have the search warrant.
They have the search warrant.
They have the search warrant on this phone. This phone was found in a car that was subject to a search warrant. It was legally acquired and entered into evidence from that search warrant. They have a legal right to have access to it from that search warrant. And even if they didn't, as Pam points out, the phone was owned by his employer, and his employer has given the FBI explicit access to the phone. None of that is in dispute by anyone.
You know, he spent all this money on guns and all this stuff, right? Wouldn't he have been smart enough to get some shitty burner phone and use this just for work? If it was the work phone? I mean, who would be dumb enough? Obviously, he's not a rocket scientist, but he's not an idiot. I mean, he went to college and he got a degree.
Well, but
he was an environmental health guy.
That's one of the things that Snowden said, is that apparently he did have other phones, and those phones were destroyed.
I'm just thinking, if I was some terrorist,
so
I wouldn't
is
use...
Saying, this is all a red herring. There is obviously nothing on this device, because he was careful and kept all of his other activities on his other devices.
I can't imagine he'd be dumb enough to use the work phone. You know, okay, Raheem, we're going today. I got the bullets.
Dan, we know for a fact that people are stupid. We know, for example, that mafia bosses, knowing full well that there's a wiretap on them, will call up, you know, their best buds and tell them who to go kill, knowing full well that there's a wiretap. We know this. It's happened over and over again. People get careless. People get stupid.